Hello and welcome to the Dancecast, where I explore dance as an art form, traveling to non-traditional places and with non-traditional doers. I'm your host and my name is Silva Lakkonen. Welcome to Dancecast and episode 21. It's the second episode in 2018, and I'm so excited about the lineup for my guests for this spring. So just stay tuned. There are some amazing people being interviewed, like my next guest, Douglas Scott, who is the leading creative voice of Full Radius Dance. He discovered dance upon entering Western Kentucky University to earn a BFA in performing arts. After graduation, he moved to Atlanta and spent several seasons with the Ruth Mitchell Dance Company, where he performed in works by Ruth Mitchell, Ron Cunningham, Monica Levy, and Sal Aiello. In 1991, Douglas founded Dance Force, Inc. He began his exploration of physically integrated dance technique in 1993, and this interest led to the creation, with co-founder Ardath Prendergast, of eMotion in 1995. In 1998, Dance Force and eMotion merged to create Full Radius Dance. Douglas is also the founder of the Modern Atlanta Dance Festival, which showcases metro area modern and contemporary dance companies and artists. The festival has been produced annually since 1995. In 2014, Douglas was honored by Governor and Mrs. Nathan Deal with the Governor's Award for the Arts and Humanities. Douglas was cited as a respected leader in modern dance and for expanding the definition and reach of modern dance by creating opportunities for dancers with and without disabilities, not only in the local Atlanta community, but throughout the state of Georgia, the United States, and internationally. A respected teacher for over 30 years, Douglas Scott has extensive experience in teaching classes and workshops in modern and modern-based physically integrated dance for numerous schools, organizations, and conferences, including Chattanooga Parks and Recreation Department, VSA Arts of Kentucky, the Coalition for Inclusion in the Performing Arts, the Multiple Sclerosis Society, the Children's Institute, the Lakeshore Foundation, the Montgomery Therapeutic Recreation Department, the Edith Upchurch Forum on Innovative Recreational Programming, the National Dance Association, Arts for All, Shepherd Center, VSA Arts of Georgia, Summer Training Institute, and the Amputee Coalition of America. Internationally, Douglas has taught workshops in physically integrated dance technique in Italy, Ireland, Germany, and Spain. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Douglas. It really, truly was an honor to speak with him and learn more about his past, present, and future.
What an honor to have you. So my first question is, how did you get involved in dance?
I grew up in a small town in eastern Kentucky.
Okay. And
dance wasn't really an option. Uh-huh. I didn't view dance as an option because of the small town environment in rural Kentucky. But I was very interested in theater. So I went to college with the goal of becoming an actor or a director. But ballet was required for theater majors.
Oh, wow.
And so I got hooked into it that way through that. Ended up with a double major in theater and dance. And ended up taking every single dance class that was offered by the university, except one, which I ended up teaching when I was a graduate assistant.
Which one was it?
It was intermediate modern.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Then from there, the fact that it's much easier to find, as a male, was to find a job in dance than it was in theater. By that time, by the time I graduated, I really knew my passion was in dance. Mm-hmm. I was always a very physical child, loved to run, loved to climb trees, stuff. And I really liked the discipline that dance offered.
Okay, yeah.
Of the physicality and the discipline. So, yeah, that's how I got started. And then after I served a year as graduate assistant, and this was at Western Kentucky University, I moved to Atlanta, got a dance teaching job almost immediately. And then within a year, I joined a regional dance company down here.
Okay, so you've been in Atlanta for a long time.
Yes, I've been here since 1984.
Wow, so it's your home.
Yes, very much my home. Met my husband his first weekend in Atlanta.
No way.
So we just, in November, we celebrated 31 years together. So.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. Huh. Yeah, he's the reason I can keep doing what I'm doing, because he's got, for lack of, he's got the real job, you know.
I think all the artists who keep on doing has the other one who has the real job, right?
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, that's unfortunate. It's because of him able to continue.
Yeah, it's. But this is what we want to all change, correct? It doesn't have to be that way anymore. I mean, it's time.
It's definitely time. I love my dancers. They're so committed, but each of them has to have another job.
Yeah, that is the reality still, which is sad. Mm-hmm. I saw some video of you. Did you do aerial then at some point? Because I saw some video of you being really young and being on trapeze or...
I'm still really young, so...
Oh, sorry.
Actually, I started exploring that about the same time I got into physically integrated.
Okay.
I got into trapeze work in Spanish Web because I wanted to see how far I could push my body.
Okay.
And I also liked the athletic part of it. So I performed it for a number of years. And then, I'd love to get back to it, but there's not enough hours in the day.
Yeah. No, it almost made me think of you like a, what are those people called? Like gymnasts. Like you looked so strong. Like it looked like a very your element. That trapeze dance.
And it was about... discovering what dance aspects I could bring into the circus aspects.
Oh, I
see. That was really my passion about, taking myself out of the comfort of the floor.
Hmm.
And we having to resist gravity in the air. And, there's a huge element of risk involved. I think that's kind of translated over to the full radius dance artistic philosophy.
Yeah.
We're all about, we love to take the risk.
Yeah.
We love to push our bodies to see where we can go with it.
Yeah, and you guys do those crazy lifts with chairs and falling with chairs. And I can see that risk being something that interests you.
Mm-hmm.
So, how did you get involved with integrated dance? I mean, you mentioned a little bit about getting the risk and getting into the circus and integrated dance at the same time. So what did happen?
I had, by that time, I had left the company I was with and I founded my own company in 1991. And it started out very much, we were all, at that time, two dancers left another company. Some other dancers came and we just sort of formed our own company with me as the director. And I wanted to start broadening our reach into the community. So there was this workshop that was held here in Atlanta about bringing the arts to different populations. So there was someone there who would worked with people who were incarcerated, people who were in jail, somebody else who worked with at-risk youth. And it was theater. It was all the different arts.
Okay.
One of the sessions was Dance for People with Physical Disabilities, and it was conducted by Mary Verdi Fletcher,
okay,
Dancing Wills, and her partner at that time, whose first name was Todd. I can't remember. I think it was Todd Goodman. So they came down, they taught, and I attended it, and I was like, my God, her body looks nothing like mine. So it goes back into physicality. I was fascinated by how different bodies move.
Oh.
So out of that, what was then called Very Special Arts, which is now known as VSA Arts, put out a call because for teachers, because they wanted to launch classes here in Atlanta for dancers of different physicalities. So they asked me to come. I went and did a 2-day teacher training, and I was selected to start teaching classes here. I think this was in 1993, along with two other teachers. At the end of that first year, I was the only teacher left. It was immensely challenging. Mm-hmm. I remember with someone with no background, I had a dance background, but hadn't worked this way before. I remember one of the first classes I had a woman who used a 300-pound power chair that she drove with her right hand. So anything I had going across the floor, a porte bras with the right arm at the beginning, you know, just wouldn't happen. Later on we worked that she started driving. She'd reach across and drive with her left hand, which is a particular skill.
Yeah.
I had another woman who had anorexia nervosa and had a stroke because of it and used a cane and had balance issues. I had another dancer who used a manual chair, but she could not manipulate the manual chair herself.
Wow.
So it's like, and of course, then there were dancers who had trained for a while, dancers without disabilities in the class. So it was immensely challenging in the beginning about how to create a class that would evolve to the class to the last second that they left. That there was no, oh, you sit and watch while we do this, then this group's, you know. So it was, it was about finding the transpositions for each exercise, for each body.
Yeah. And transposition is a word that is a full radius word, right? Will you talk a little bit about that now when it came out?
Yes. we arrived on transposition maybe 3-4 years ago. We went through different things. We talked about translating the exercise, but then it was pointed out to me that things get lost in translation.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, because there are words in German that we can't translate into English and vice versa. And there's words in Spanish. My husband's from Bolivia, and he said one word one day, and I was like, what does that mean? And he couldn't explain it to me because there's no translation for English. We used ADAPT for a while, but ADAPT for us has a connotation that you're somehow making it easier or you're changing it. So finally stumbled upon transposition because it's used in music. When you transpose a piece from A major in the A major key into C minor or something like that, or it doesn't change the relationship of the notes between each other. It just transposes it into a different key. So we use transpose to transpose our exercises or movement. The relationship, the intent of the movement stays the same. It's just transposed into a different body.
I really like that. I really, really like that because I do think the language around integrated dance is so complicated.
It is. Yeah, it definitely is. And just going from country to country or company to company.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like, and I like that whole, the whole, what should we call it? Like the whole meaning behind the word. Like that's really, I like that word a lot. Good. So.
Yeah, it was a very thoughtful process to finally get there. And sometimes it's supremely uncomfortable to talk about language.
Yes.
We don't want to offend anybody. So we've just made our decisions in full ready sense. This is the terminology we use. You don't have to use it, but just recognize this is why we use it and for these reasons.
Yeah.
Same reason we don't like we don't like the term wheelchair dance.
Yeah.
Just because that ignores half my company and it ignores that the wheelchair itself is incapable of movement. It's the dancer in the chair that makes the chair move.
That's very true. That's very true. Yeah, no, and I really would like to get to the point where we just call it dance.
Right. Yeah, that's the ultimate goal, but
we still need these words.
Yeah, we still do. I had removed an explanation of what we meant by physically integrated dance from our mission statement.
Okay.
And then people didn't understand what it was. So I had to go back into the mission statement, blah, blah, physically integrated dance, parentheses, dance performed by persons with and without disabilities, physical disabilities in parentheses. So, yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. So this is interesting. Interesting. And I love talking about it because I think we often avoid talking about it, but I think we should talk about it.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, sorry, I totally took you out of your thought of how full radius or how did you got involved in the integrated dance?
That's fine. So after that first year, they asked me to continue. Like I continued on teaching weekly instead of once every 3 weeks. Hmm. So, and at the time we started these, we were supposed to be mentored. But the mentoring never happened because of some administrative changes in the company that was supposed to be mentoring us. And I am actually thankful for that now because it really allowed me and the dancers I was working with to create our own vision of what physically integrated dance could be instead of being dictated that this is the exercises you need to do, bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
It has made me a much teaching to the individuals rather than the class, because you can walk into a ballet class and go to the bar, everybody do your pliés, da da da, with this port de bras, but that is not necessarily the way you can teach in an integrated environment.
Yeah.
So it became very much okay. I'm teaching to Carol and Joe and Francis over there instead of viewing them as a group.
Yeah.
They're individuals that make up a group.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So about 2 years into the program, a rock band here in Atlanta by the name of Van Gogh is fronted at that time by two brothers who used power chairs. Mm. And they ask us if we would be willing to create some dances to their music to appear at an arts festival here. So my cohort, Ardith Prendergast, who was the dancer, pulled together three of the more advanced students in the class and put together a couple of, like, three or four dances. We performed them. The response was so great, we thought, maybe we're on to something here. So we founded a company called eMotion. So I was running two companies. I was running my that time it was called Dance Force. I was running Dance Force, which was the traditional dance company, and eMotion, which was the integrated dance company. Then after a while, one of my board members, Kate Gaynor, at that time said, "Why are you doing two companies?" I was like, "Well, I don't know, since all my work is physically integrated." From that, like, 1995 all, that was what I was interested in. All the work was physically integrated. So those two entities combined together to create Full Radius Dance.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah.
And so that was, when was that?
1998 is when we combined the two companies together. So there was a period from 1995, 3 years, where the companies were performing together, doing everything together, but we had separated them. And part of that, I think, was because we really didn't know where the eMotion Full Radius Dance was going to go. Mm-hmm. Was it viable? Was this still going to be of interest?
Yeah.
To us, a couple of years. Yeah. And yeah, it has. It continues to interest me. So,
but you are now 20 years in and still interested in it and still doing it. So I guess it was the right decision.
Yeah. I say it saved my career. It resurrected my career because it really gave me an area of focus. I found something that I was deeply, deeply committed to and deeply interested in. And it's still... thankfully, when I walk into the studio every day, it still interests me.
Yeah, yeah. I had a similar experience. I was in college having my BA in dance, and halfway I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to be a dancer. This is terrible. I don't know. And then we went to a rehabilitation center where we offered dance for a week, and that changed. I was like, this is what I want to do.
Right.
So, yeah. and still interests me too.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Because it's just, you never know who's going to walk into this class or walk into the studio and what their physicality is, how they move. And it was like, wow, yeah. Because, you know, it's much, I love ballet, absolutely love ballet. I just saw New York City Ballet doing Balanchine work. But it's beautiful, but they're cookie cutters in a lot of way. I feel like the genre we're working in really reflects real life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
That there's bodies on stage that people can relate to.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think deepens the impact of what we do for the viewer.
Absolutely. Man, I was just having lunch with a friend who hosts Dance on Dance, and she just used a beautiful term describing ballet, because we were talking about this, like, difficulty or the challenge of ballet, and she said it beautifully, and I totally forgot about it.
Great.
And then, so Full Radius is 20 years old this year, right?
Well, I actually count back to when I founded the company.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, so, not from the merging, but from the... So you're over 20 years old.
Yeah, this is our 26th season.
Oh, my gosh.
So last year was a big deal. It was the 25th anniversary season. So I brought back work from the past and created a brand new work called, very aptly, Do You Know What You're Doing Now? Because I don't know, maybe you have this. Sometimes I'm watching what I've choreographed or worked, and I was like, what is that? Do I know? Do I even know how to choreograph anymore? So I wanted to tap into that, the insecurity of the artist. So the whole piece was sort of about, yeah, insecurity, really not knowing what's going on, tapping into those dreams that we have, that I have, when you're tossed on stage and you realize you don't know the choreography. And so, and it was actually marked my brief return to the stage. I did a spoken word section that really was the launching pad for the piece. Was I actually had this dream of pulling golden threads out of my throat and creating this beautiful tapestry. And then the dream goes on and I realize, this happens to me quite often, that I knew I was dreaming. And I started crying in the dream because the dream was so beautiful.
But you knew that it was just a dream.
Yeah, I knew there was just a dream. So I'm bummed. So it creating something so beautiful, but then realizing it was only in my mind. I hadn't physically done anything. So that whole thing played into the insecurity of the artist and developed the whole piece. And subsequently, we were fortunate enough to perform that same concert in Madrid at the Una Mirada Diferente Festival. And in New York, we made our New York City debut with that same concert in October.
Oh, okay. Cool. Oh, nice. And when you start creating a new work, I think I read an article where you were saying that sometimes you might create a phrase for your dancer in a wheelchair instead of, you know, able-bodied dancer to begin with. How do you start when you start your pieces? What is your starting point?
Wow.
Or does it vary, like...
The pieces usually start with me giving a task to the dancers to complete.
Okay.
And it may be as simple as, sometimes I'll bring in poetry and I'll say, okay, use this as your inspiration to start creating. Other times, it varies a lot. Other times I'll bring in a movement phrase that I've been working on. And my dancers I rarely go in and just don't have any I always have a concept when I go in. Now, the end product may not have any relation to that concept, but I just find it, for me, it's useful to give to be task-oriented in the first couple of rehearsals and say, this is what we want to get done. So the piece that we're premiering next week came from, what the task was, we're so well known for our partnering.
Yeah.
So how can I deconstruct partnering? So we jointly created a trio phrase, which I, if memory serves, it started as three of my dancers who use chairs. Created. Then I said, okay, now let's translate that into a phrase for the standing dancers without disabilities. Now let's translate it into two dancers in a chair, one standing dancer. So we played with the different varieties of it. And then I said, okay, now do it without touching.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
So it's all this intricate partnering work that you suddenly couldn't actually touch. That was a task because we're so well known for our partnering. I wanted to see, well, how can we challenge ourselves? And then from that came the whole idea, because when you're partnering but not touching, there was a lot of circling around each other, maybe with arms without touching. And it was, it reminded me of weaving. And that inspired me. So next Friday night at 8 p.m. we'll be premiering Tapestry, which is an evening work.
And is it for the whole company? Okay. I saw a clip on the two wheelchair dancers doing the duet. It was fascinating.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fascinating.
I'm really proud. I think in some ways, Full Radius Dance is really pushing the envelope of partnering between dancers with disabilities.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing. I actually was thinking and watching it and thinking, I don't think I've ever seen this.
Yeah, that's always exciting.
Yeah.
Because both of us, we've been in the field for so long. When I see something fresh, I'm like, oh, yes. Yes, it's still. And that's what keeps me going. that the movement possibilities are still out there that we haven't found yet.
I know. And it's just like, I was like, what? And why haven't I even thought about, like, why haven't I even thought about that?
On a quick side note, just sprung to my mind. You know Alice Shepard?
Yeah.
Kinetic Light. Alice and I had a brief conversation, and we're hopefully going to explore this more, and I'm throwing it out there to the universe right now. If companies like Full Radius Dance and Alice's company, Kinetic Light, that are really pushing the athleticism and physicality, that we need to make sure that there's other companies out there, because not every dancer can do. And we don't want to do a disservice to the entire field by having suddenly that this is what means to be a dancer.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Yeah. So that's another, conversations. There's all these, and like we're having now, there's all these potentially difficult conversations that if the field needs to sit down and be uncomfortable for a while.
Yeah, I agree.
But your work, yeah.
And the big thing that we are working here at Keshet, we have a pre-professional program that we have now our first student with a disability in it. And so what I'm really wanting to challenge is, like, I want to find a college that she can apply and become a professional dancer in the field. And why don't we have it? Why can we not have it? And I was talking to Nina Martin, who is a professor at TCU, and she said, yeah, she has asked her colleagues, like, what happens in a scenario if you get accepted to a college as a dance major and you acquire a disability during that summer? Can you still go? Mm-hmm. Are you still welcome to that program? And I think it's a fabulous question.
Yeah. So I had a conversation with one of the universities here in Atlanta, and they brought it up in took it to their faculty meeting, and they just said, well, what are the standards? Are the standards different, suddenly become different if a dancer has a disability and all this? And I think it was more daunting than what they wanted to tackle at that moment. But we've got to find one university, if not two universities, that are willing to say, yes, we're here. There's enough mentorship, I think, in the field right now, like Access, Full Radius Dance, Dancing Wills, Keshet, that would say, yeah, we're here, we're a resource.
Yeah, exactly.
We're happy to come and mentor the student through the process, or sit down with your faculty and say, yes, this can happen, this must happen.
Yeah, exactly. Because I also believe that the need in the professional field for people with disabilities is quite big. Mm-hmm. So we need to think about the trajectory of, you know, we have completely open classes. We have a 6-year-old girl in a ballet class with peers who is a paraplegic. So we have several different integrated, basically all our school classes are open for anybody. So, then we have this pre-professional program that we are now tackling this, what does an integrated pre-professional program look like? And then I really am excited about the possibility for then those kids to be able to apply to universities. So, I want to talk to you guys as professional integrated dance companies. What are the things that you look from a person when they come and audition in your auditions, like as a disabled dancer? What are the strengths and, you know, like, what are the things that you look? What are the qualities? What is it, like technique? Is it performance skills? Like, is it create? Like, what is it?
Yeah, we acknowledge that the majority of dancers that come to us with disabilities haven't had the advantage of training that the non-disabled dancers have. So I look for someone who's got good body awareness, which I've found most people with disabilities have fantastic body awareness because they're navigating an environment that's not always favorable to them.
Yeah.
So they have a really strong concept a lot of times of how close they are to somebody and how to navigate through the studio. A lot of it, particularly in our work, I look for someone who's fearless. That says, yes, I will try that. A lot of times it's just the intangible. It's the same way with dancers without disabilities.
Yeah. Sometimes
there are dancers that come into the studio that just click.
Yeah.
Click with me that I can feel something. We also do all of our auditions end with improvisation work. And that's important to me to find out who improvs by themselves and who actively seeks out improvisation with someone else.
Oh, and interesting.
Yeah, I actually tell my dancers that are returning to go up to the dancers that are auditioning during the improv and see if they feed off of each other or if they're just like still in their own little world doing their improvisation.
So dance improvisation skills are very important.
Yeah, even though it's not the basis of our class.
Because
just the nature of full radius dances work, which is probably same for a lot of places, we're very collaborative in the way that we work. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I just say, move like a spider. And then you'll get the dancers like, well, does that mean this? Does that mean this? And sometimes, no, I say, that's all I'm giving you. And So I find that interesting because I do want, and I look for this in auditions too, I do want a thinking dancer.
Yes.
I want a dancer that thinks for themselves and doesn't, and that's probably more common, dancers who think themselves, is probably more common with dancers with disabilities than dancers without disabilities. A lot of times dancers without disabilities, and I grew up this way, okay, I go to the bar, the teacher tells me to plie, the teacher gives me the counts, the teacher does everything, it was all about matching what the teacher's concept was, the teacher's idea of dance. And improvisation wasn't even taught when I was growing up. And so, yeah.
Yeah, no, thank you for that answer. That is really helpful. But talking about the future, so there's this new dance and disability affinity group that you and Judy Smith are hosting. And we're going to soon, I'm going to soon hear more, but can you give me a little bit, some ideas, what we're going to talk and what we're going to do and what are, do we have an agenda and What is it? What is it? What is Dance and Disability Affinity Group?
Well, this all sprang out of the initiative that established, I think it was a two-year program, where to bring in practitioners of dance and disability together. It started with a national convening in New York City, hosted at Gibney Dance. Then from there, it split off into regionals. I know Keshet, I believe.
Yeah.
Southwest one. So this was not sustainable for Access to do this even. So they looked for the national partner that could take it over. And Dance USA was the perfect fit. So this is trying to continue the momentum that we began.
I see.
In the convenings of, going back to what we were talking about before, of maybe finding the time to have those difficult conversations that we need to have about the field, about growing the field. So we, the Dance and Disability Affinity Group got established officially at the end of Dance USA National Conference last year in Kansas City. I jokingly say, Judy is the chair, I'm the non-chair. So this conference call, which is the doodle polls out now, we're not quite sure when it's in, is open to anybody in the field, the practitioners, but ultimately the Dance and Disability Affinity Group will be open to Dance USA members only.
Yeah.
But Dance USA, we've had lovely conversations with them. You can come into Dance USA at whatever level you want. I believe there's like a student rate, which is like $35 for the year.
Yeah, so it's affordable.
We're trying to make it very affordable. And another thing why we put this in with Dance USA, because Dance USA has a national convention each year.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully as many people who are in the Dance and Disability Affinity Group will be able to come so we can meet face-to-face. We can share best. We're even talking about if the group wants this, of doing a pre-conference where we do nothing but we dance. We take class from each other. We learn each other's movement styles, each other's philosophies. It's all about trying to build the field, keep the field going, addressing what needs to happen.
I love this idea of us supporting each other and learning from each other.
Yeah. We've got to... I've been in dance for a while, so this I know this happens with the traditional dance companies. We've got to realize that we're not in competition with each other.
Yes, exactly.
The only way the field is going to grow is we have to share, and share more.
Yeah, and support.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So to add to that, what would be Douglas's dream or Full Radius's dream, something that you have not yet done but you would absolutely love to do?
Oh, wow. that's a big one. There's plenty of things. For years, I have wanted to establish a studio here in Atlanta. and I was going to call it the CIA, Center for the Integrated Arts.
Oh, wow.
And not only would it support physically integrated dance, but it would support cross-cultural collaborations. Mm. If a flamenco dancer from New Mexico wants to come out here for a period of time and wants to know how flamenco and hip-hop could share the stage, how two artists coming together from different cultures, different cultural traditions, things like that. Because I love cross-cultural collaborations. I love all that kind of sharing. So yeah, to have our own space would be major for us.
Okay.
That we've never really been able to offer ongoing classes because the time for classes is the same time that the other dance studios have their classes. So finding the open space.
Yeah. So if anybody who's listening and has tons of money and wants to give them to Full Radius, I'll put you in touch with Douglas. Just let me know.
Yes. And our second thing, and we're very close to having this done, is to actually have our technique manual produced. Where I'm currently investigating what kind of format that should be. We probably want to make it available online. But yeah. So I've recorded all the combinations. Now it's the matter of having the time to film the combinations so we have video.
Oh, that's really great, because there are manuals out there, but not having the visual and just reading is challenging.
Right.
And that's a great idea. I love that.
To be able to show the different transpositions in the exercise as well. So it's not just so. We would work with maybe one of our groups of adults with developmental disabilities and record, okay, this is, I'm just brainstorming right now. Maybe the over narration says, we do this exercise because for this reason.
So those are, I love those dreams. I also feel like they are totally doable.
Yeah, they are. It's, for me, it's sometimes it's hard to think that far into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe hopefully I can start changing my mindset that way. I'm always thinking about the next dance. Okay. Because a lot of times once we perform Tapestry, then I'm going like, okay, nothing interests me right now. I have no inspiration. I will probably never create anything again in my entire life. But then some germ of an idea, I'll read a snippet of a poem. I'll see somebody on the street. Something will create interest in my mind again, and I will get back to the studio. So yeah, I'm always thinking short term, and for the field in general, I really need to start turning my focus outward and thinking bigger pictures.
Well, and you have made so much happening. You also started a whole dance festival in Atlanta that has now been going on for how many years?
Oh, I think this is our 23rd year.
Yeah.
Many years ago, brief dance history here, Atlanta Dance History, there was a group called, a presenter called Dancers Collective, who would bring in, they brought in like Shapiro and Smith, other Jane Comfort and Company, all these national artists. And they had a dance festival for the local community called Atlanta Dance on the Loose. If I remember correctly, they lost their National Endowment for the Arts funding for it. So after two or three seasons, it just stopped.
Oh, I see.
And so at that time, I was teaching at Agnes Scott College. I was an adjunct assistant at Agnes Scott College. So I made an arrangement with them that instead of paying me in money, they'd pay me in space. So they gave me the theater space out there. And I went out to the community and did some talking and said, okay, let's continue the festival. The first couple of years, we just split the box office take amongst all the dancers. And it was whoever wanted to perform could perform.
I see.
So it was very, yeah. But after a couple of years, we did some talking to the audience, some polling, and found out that the audiences thought it was a professionally adjudicated festival. So either we needed to change our marketing or give or match the audience's perception.
Uh-huh.
So after that, we decided we're going to match the audience's perception. So for about at least 20 years now, it's been professionally adjudicated by dance professionals who live outside of Georgia.
Okay.
And that also enabled us to free up, because there was less companies involved, we then switched to Full Ready Dance. We do fundraising to pay each to give each company a performance stipend. We pay for theater rental. We pay for a professional crew. So it's sort of our
wow.
And as far as I know, it's one of the longest running modern dance festivals in the Southeast.
Well, yeah, that's 23 years. That's a long time. That's wonderful. And is this the festival where you're going to premiere new work now?
No.
No, this is separate.
Yeah. Next week is our our repertory concert that we self-produce each year.
I see.
And then I'm actually bringing back an old work for maybe for the Mad Festival. I haven't really decided yet.
Okay.
Because I have no inspiration right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have inspired yourself out. You know, you're in this last legs of new work. That's a terrible place to be thinking something new. No. Right. Well, Douglas, so, thank you so much. I am looking forward to working with you more and Dance and Disability Affinity Group. And I'm so happy to hear you saying that we need to have these conversations because I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thanks so much for talking with me.
I enjoyed it. I can't wait to come visit you out there in Albuquerque.
So, Full Radius has a summer intensive.
Yes, we do. This will be the fourth year. It's grown steadily each year. It is the last full week of July.
So the
I don't have a calendar in front of me.
The 23rd to the... Is it Monday through Friday?
Yes.
So the...
Actually, last year was Sunday through Saturday.
Okay, so maybe it's from the 22nd to the 28th.
That sounds right. The first 3 days, it's divided in between teacher training and what we call new movers, because we do get some people that come with disabilities that have never taken technique class before.
I see.
So we use the first 3 days to ease people into the full radius dance technique and the structure. And so I'll teach, then the teachers come with me and I sit down and talk to them why I taught what I taught, why the other people go back through what the combinations, the exercises that were just taught. Then, yeah, so it begins. We have 4 day stance technique class. We have improvisation class. And then we have composition and choreography all going on through the week. It's lots of fun. Yeah.